I want to introduce this morning's guest minister that really is not a guest to us. As I made mention a moment ago, Doug Lewis has served this church under previous appointment in 1996 through 2004. He's got his wife, Suzanne, with him here this morning. We're pleased to have as well. Doug is currently our church's district superintendent as well, which means he's the overseer of our district, which would be the Firelands district themselves. And Doug has also been just a constant source of encouragement, I'll tell you, to a young clergy that was cutting his teeth in ministry and knowing some things about Bellevue in that way as well. And so we're pleased to have, in so many different ways, Doug Lewis come forward to give this morning's message. Make him feel welcome.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. It is great to be back here at Bellevue First, especially on this day of all days. What a great day. What a great day. A celebration in the life of this congregation. I have a great joy of being the superintendent of this district and working with such great pastors as Justin Jump. And you have not only a great pastor, you have a great ministry team here with Justin and Julia. And boy, I tell you, what a great connection they have formed, not only with this church, but with this community. And great things are happening. So I thank God for him. I thank God for his ministry. I thank God for your ministry, that it's really coming and bearing great fruit with his leadership. So it is good to be here today. I bring you greetings on behalf of our bishop, Tracy Smith Malone, her assistant, the Reverend Dr. Gary George, and the other 9 members that serve on the East Ohio Cabinet with me. You know, Suzanne and I have just great memories from our time here over that 8-year period. And we were so honored to serve in this church. And gosh, it was great years of ministry here with you. And how exciting it is to be here with you on this day when we're celebrating this dedication of this new ministry space, this new Youth and Family Life Center. This is a great day for this congregation and for all those who are touched by the ministries of this church throughout this community. When I was here back in 96 to 2004, as Justin mentioned, on occasions I would hear stories about the old church that was down there at the corner of Main Street and North Sandusky Street. And one of those stories was shared by Dick Bell. Some of you might remember Dick Bell. He was the owner of Seneca Caverns. And as a child, his home was right across the alley from the old Methodist church on that downtown location. And he would tell me that as a teenager, you know, he'd be out late with his friends on a Saturday night. And you know how it is. Your alarm goes off on Sunday morning, time to get up from church, but you're out a little bit too late the night before, so you just lay there and go, I don't know. Not sure I'm going to do this today. But Dick, in the summer months, would have his windows open. And the church would have their windows open. And he could just lay in bed and listen to the worship service. Well, you know, as I was preparing this service and kind of reminiscing about stories I'd heard about the church, that one came back to me, because here we are, 65, 70 years later, in the midst of this pandemic, and people are now worshiping online. And where are they worshiping online from? Their beds. Dick had no idea at the time, but he was an innovative and forward thinker in the 1950s. But you know what? One of the things I've come to realize about this congregation is there is a long history of innovative thinking. There's a long history of visionary leadership and of a commitment to discipleship that is associated with this congregation. Those characteristics seem to be embedded in the very DNA of First United Methodist Church. You know, during my time here, I heard many stories about the downtown church, heard stories and saw pictures of the space when they were trying to make people aware of how cramped and crowded they were in that old downtown location. You know, one of the stories I heard, they were so desperate for space, they took an old coal storage room from back in the days when they had a coal furnace, and they cleaned it out, and they turned it into a Sunday school classroom. Can you just imagine the church directory? You walk in the door, first grade classroom in this space, second grade classroom, the coal bin. What an impressive thing. But you see those pictures from the 50s and you realize that this congregation where the worship attendance was growing, this congregation where the Sunday school attendance was growing, in this place where it was landlocked, where they had no room for expansion or growth, they were facing a critical crisis. And they had to answer some difficult questions. Do we stay here? Do we stay here and basically cap the size of the church where it is right now? Or do we go somewhere else? I doubt they felt like they really had a choice. Because the mission that Jesus gave to his disciples in the first century was the same mission the leaders of that congregation became aware of in the 1950s. And it's the same mission that moved this church to respond to the invitation of Christ in 2020 to build a youth and family life center. And that mission is to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ so that the world might be changed through him. It's a mission where implicit within it is this understanding that the church exists to touch lives, and because it's touching lives and transforming lives, the church is going to grow. Stagnation is not an option when we're living into the mission of Jesus Christ for the church. We can't stay as we are. We can't stay just the size that we are. Implicit within it is this understanding we exist for the purpose of transforming lives. And when we're transforming lives, the outcome of that is it's always going to be growth. It's always going to be growth. You know, you look at what they went through back in the 50s. And they foresaw that they could not grow where they were and live into the mission Jesus Christ called the church into. So they came out here to this, what was then the north edge of town. And they got enough space, not only to meet the immediate needs of the present, but where there would be room to grow, if need be, in the future. And you know, and they set up this three or four phase building plan of starting with the fellowship hall and the Christian education space. And the next phase was giving the pastor a place to live. Thanks for doing that. We enjoyed that house for 8 years. It's a lovely home. And getting a parsonage close to the church, but enough space that you left room in case expansion had to happen. And then building the sanctuary and the church parlor in the late 60s. And then that space behind the parsonage, you know what that was originally for? A youth center. A youth center. And here we are today. We've got the youth center. That visionary leadership at that time has continued to be built on over the years. And we're here today because of that visionary leadership and you stepping into and continuing that visionary leadership that keeps moving the church forward. Well, what has always struck me about the congregational leaders at that time was they were not just thinking about the needs of the 1950s, but they were looking far beyond the 50s. They were looking far beyond the year 2000 and envisioning where the church might have to go someday in the 21st century. And when you look at what propelled that work, when you look at the source of energy behind that work, it's that compelling mission of Jesus Christ to make disciples, to be connecting people to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Which is what you did, connected and empowered by the Holy Spirit to cause the need for this space today. Because the ministries of this congregation continue to grow. The ministries of this congregation continue to touch, and not only touch lives, but to transform people's lives. I tell you, it's a joy to be back here once again so I can be in the area and hear the incredible stories of what's taking place. I love to get online to your webpage, and I look at the pictures of what's going on during Wiggly Worship. That looks like a great time. And then your wonderful after-school program. We'll be starting up again once we're past this pandemic. You have a really effective youth ministry, outstanding ministries, small group ministries for adults. Always where people can be growing in their empowerment of the Holy Spirit in their lives and taking that Holy Spirit that they've been empowered with and going out and being part of ministries that are transforming the lives of other people beyond the doors of the church. The energizing presence of the Holy Spirit just continues to be moving this church forward. And I'll tell you, it's an exciting time to be part of the ministry of Bellevue First. We read about what happens when the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit energy gets hold of a church. And we read about it in the book, The Acts of the Apostles. I agree with the biblical scholar who says it's probably one of the most misnamed books of the Bible. Because it's really not about the Acts of the Apostles. It's really about the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And what happens when the Holy Spirit gets hold of people's lives? What happens when the Holy Spirit takes up residence among a body of believers? That just incredible things happen. And you read about this in the book of Acts, that early on in that book of the Acts of the Apostles, Jesus is about to ascend to heaven. And he says to his followers, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And a little bit later on in the Acts of the Apostles, we read about how this mission starts to be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 new believers are added to the fellowship of the church. And what did the church do with these new believers? What did it do with these new people to faith? They nurtured them. They nurtured them. They were taught by the apostles. They worshiped together in the temple. They prayed together. They shared the sacrament of Holy Communion together. And they were in fellowship with one another. And what happened? What came out of all those things? They went and they invited other people into their fellowship. You see this core ministry process at work early on in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. A life of worship in the faith community, a life of spiritual growth that ultimately leads the church to go out and to evangelize, to make more disciples. And it's the core ministry process we see at work in your congregation here today. A life of worship, opportunities for spiritual growth of people of all age, a commitment to ministries of spiritual growth so that the church might grow out and bring people into a transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, as we celebrate the completion of this new Youth and Family Life Center, we know it's going to continue to be used to fulfill that mission Jesus gave the church 2,000 years ago. That same mission that was continued by a group of faithful men and women in the 1950s. When they felt the need to move the location of the church and to begin in a new location. And it's that same Holy Spirit that has driven this congregation to where we are today, more than 65 years later, to add more space for doing the work that Christ has called the church to. As I mentioned at the first service, I hope I'm around. I hope I'm still around the next time this congregation needs more space. Even more space for ministry. I know that's a terrible thing to say after you've just completed a building project. But you know what? With the energy in this congregation, your attentiveness to the Holy Spirit, the passion you have to bring other people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, don't deny that's a possibility in your future. Like the people were thinking in the 1950s, when they designed this building so it could be easily built onto, we always got to be thinking what God's going to do next. What new thing is God going to do? What new thing is God going to call us to? And under the leadership you have in a pastoral leader, under the leadership you have by core spiritual leaders in this church, believe me when I say you are poised, you are ready for that next step. You are ready for it. As you've done in the past, just stay in touch with the guiding of the Spirit. Be aware and open to the movement of that Holy Spirit in your life, not only as individuals, but as a collective body of Christ. Because great things are happening in what Jesus Christ is doing in and through you. And I am confident. I am confident. What we're seeing is just the beginning of what God can do in and through you. Great to be with you today. Congratulations on this wonderful completion of this project. And God's blessings on you as you move forward into God's future. Amen.